حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صلوات على محمد وعلى آله.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
First of all, again, I'd like to extend my thanks to all of our Christian brothers who came here and sisters who came here. And it was our honor to have you here. And we again appreciate and we are honored to share our bread with you, and it is always our pleasure. As we have been discussing this month, the subject that we have been discussing is man and faith, and this is the subject of this chapter of the Quran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, "I swear by time, man is in loss except for those who believe and do good, and they enjoin towards truth, and they enjoin towards patience." We see that the subject here that Allah speaks about are two. One is loss and the other is success. And loss is attributed to man and success is attributed to faith. Meaning man is going to lose unless he has faith. Faith is the only thing that can bring about success for mankind. And without faith, there is no success. He is bound for failure. And we see that, we have also said that faith is the result of understanding. And if one wants to have faith, one needs to get understanding. One needs to understand, to know, to comprehend, to recognize God. And then he can have faith. And as we mentioned this, right now we are discussing those factors by which a human being is hindered from acquiring faith. What are those things that prevent a human being from becoming a believer? What are those things that become an obstacle in his path to acquire faith? And we mentioned two until now, three. That first thing was the fact if the message of God did not reach him. If the message did not reach him, then because of that he does not have faith, then we explain what will happen to him and what will be his hereafter. The next factor was that even though the message and the signs of God are apparent in the world, and all through the world, and we see the signs of God everywhere, but the fact is that unless a person is not observant of those signs, he will never know they are the signs of God. Unless a person is not looking for them, unless a person does not have the intention of seeing those as the signs of God, he will see them throughout his life, but never recognize God, and will never acquire faith.
Amen.
It's like you go to a shop, as I said, in which, like, he sells clocks and watches, and you ask the guy, what's the time? And with all those watches, he has to look at the clock. And you wonder, all these watches are here, you should know the time right away. But you see, those watches are there to sell, right, not to know the time. And because his intention was not to know the time, even with the presence of all these clocks and watches, he did not know the time. And just like that, we see the signs that are apparent within our own self. God has put signs within our own selves to recognize God. But if we choose to recognize, if we see if that is our intention to recognize Him, if we don't have that intention to recognize Him, we would never see those things as the signs of God. This was the second thing. The third factor that becomes an obstacle for a man, a human being, to reach God and to acquire faith in God, and this we said yesterday, is his own false notions and superstitious beliefs. The more a person believes that a black cat that walks his path is going to bring about bad luck, the more he will disbelieve in the fact that it is only God is that who's actually who has all the power.
Amen.
The more you believe in these false notions, and this is the reason why many people in the world are not able to find faith, because they believe in these false notions that they made for themselves. And now when you have these things in your heart and you give these things and you attribute aspects to these things that belong to God, then you see that you are not able to acquire faith in God and know God, because these things become an obstacle for you. And now the factor that we want to, that I want to speak about today, is another factor that becomes an obstacle for mankind to become a mu'min or have faith in God. And this is called ta'assub. Ta'assub is every kind of discrimination, whether it is in the form of nationalism, whether it is in the form of racism, whether it is in the form of every type of ism that we see that an individual acquires. And this becomes an obstacle. The reason why, because ta'assub, the Arabic word itself, means to put a fold, like for example, to put a cloth on your eye so you cannot see. That's what it means. It means to put a fine fold on your eyes so you cannot see. This is the literal meaning. And when we see the meaning of it, it means that every type of discrimination that exists amongst people, whenever you see this discrimination existing in people, it with that discrimination in their heart, you see faith cannot enter their heart. And the reason is this, that if you have noticed, as an example, when we see, and we have these examples all over the place, in every people, in every nation, every place you go, you have these things. Whatever we do and our environment teaches us, whatever our environment gives us. And we have been raised in this environment, a certain environment. Whatever this environment gives us, and whatever this environment educates us in, to us, we make that the basis to judge everything else by. And hence, if something does not relate to our environment, if something does not, it does not give us the understanding that our environment has given us, we reject it. And for example, you will see, and you have heard this a lot of times before, from those people, and even from here, and in anything that you do. For example, they'll say, you know, the way we used to do it at home, that's the best way.
Yeah, I've said that. I'm guilty.
See, the way we used to do it at home is the best way. And you see that. And now what happened is that, you know, this happens, right, amongst those Muslims who come from back east. For example, they come from India, Pakistan, Arab countries, the Iranians, they come over here. And obviously you have an Islamic center here, and they say, you know what? If you want to see religion, you should come back home. There. Over there, you know. And that too they add. We have seen the world. We have seen the world, but the religion that exists back home, yes, that is real. That's the best. And you see, they say it. And they say, we have seen the world. How much world they have seen? About 2.5 countries. Right? They took the flight to come over here. They stopped over somewhere. They count that as a country too. And after seeing the 2.5 countries, they say, what happens back home? Yes, really, you should come back home with us someday and really see how it happens there, you know. Here, you know, it's okay, you know, we are doing something here. But there, like that. See, everywhere you go, this person has this idea in his mind that his is the best. Now, what is the basis by which he made that decision? That's what we need to see. On what basis did you make that decision? What was the criterion that you used, the standard that you used to make the decision that that is better? The only criteria that you had was what you have seen and learned from your own environment. And based on that criteria, because what happens here is not in accordance with your environment, so you reject it and you say that is better. Why? Because that is the criterion. So now if this is the criterion we have, let me explain that more to you. Right? So those of you who are here can also understand for my brothers here. You see, and we say this a lot of times, here when we have, you know, alhamdulillah, nice community, good community, and say, you know what? The way we have it here, you know, I mean, mashallah, everyone is a religious person, a believer, strong believer. Everyone here, mashallah, everyone is good here. And why? Because this is all we have seen, right? This is all we have seen. But now what happens is that when we are going to judge others, we judge according to what we have. And that's how we judge others. So now, when the message of God comes, when we see that God's message reaches you, so now instead of judging God's message from the view that this is from God, we will judge His message according to what our environment has taught us. And when we judge it according to our environment, then we are going to look at God's message as something that is foreign and strange, as opposed to our own. And hence, this is the reason why we see. The reason is because when you have this sort of prejudice about your own environment, about your own country, about your own language, what happens is that you will also judge God's message according to your own prejudice. When you judge God's message according to your own prejudice, then you will never understand God's message. And if you don't understand His message, you will never have faith in Him. How can you have faith in Him when you don't understand Him? And you don't understand Him because you're judging Him by the standards that you have made for yourself through your environment. Instead of looking at that message as being from God, and when we look at our own message, and when we look at our own environment, who made our environment? And we have seen through experience that the people who make the environment, if you go back 100 years, 200 years, you'll see the people who make the environment and the rules and environment and the principles by which everything works are the grandmothers.
That's what they say. If mama's not happy, nobody's happy.
That's what happens. When you see the grandmother, she will say, listen, this is how it's done. And then we think that this is the criterion for right and wrong. So she made the standard for us to know right and wrong. So when grandmother made it for us, and when God's message comes, we say it's not according to grandma's recipe. It's not according to her recipe. If it's not according to that, it means that is wrong. Instead of recognizing the fact that she is just like us, she is a human just like us, making mistakes just like us, instead of relying on what God has to say, who's perfect, we are going to choose this. Why? Because of prejudice that exists. That this is how we are raised. This is how we are brought up. And you know what? This usually happens. This usually happens, and it prevents a person from knowing that. You know, in Islam, you know, we have like different sects. And when I was young, and in my younger days, I had friends from all the Muslims, you know. In fact, all my friends are, you can say, non-Shias, right? The ones that I was with. And one of them is my very close friend. And we used to argue all the time. And obviously, you know, I mean, you know, what do you say, what do I say, da da da. We used to argue all the time, right? We used to argue all the time. And you know what? The argument always used to end. And I knew it, and I always used to blame myself. Why did I even start the argument when I know how it's going to end? You know, the argument always used to end with him saying, listen, I was born like this, and I want to die like this. What you going to do about that? Nothing. You can't do anything about it. If that's his choice, that's his choice. He can do what he wants. But the point that happens is that the reason he said that, it emanates from a prejudice that we have learned regarding our own upbringing. Instead of when we grow up and when we understand things, to see things as they are, to know things as they are, we chose. And we choose, human beings choose to stick to those things that they have learned from their environment. This is that nationalism, that racism, that discrimination that exists amongst them. They discriminate according to their environment. What they have seen, that's all they do. And the reason this happens, my brothers and sisters, the reason this happens is because of the fact that if a person has never gone and seen another environment and has never experienced another environment, that is why we see, that is why he is just going to be in that little box that he is in. When you are in that box of your own environment, and you don't want to see any other environment and see it for what it is and learn from it and know about it, then you will always be in that world of prejudice that exists, that box that exists. This is the reason it is a blessing for anyone who has come from his home and from his country to another country to learn about another environment. It is a blessing. Why? Because when he will learn about another environment and he will know it just like he knows his own, then he will be able to judge which one of this is better than the other. then he will be able to make a judgment. But if he doesn't even know, then he will always judge others according to his own self, according to who he is and how he was raised. This is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, travel in the earth, go in the earth and see the endings of those who rejected God. When you travel in the world, then you will see the ending of those who rejected God. Where are those kings who rejected God? Where are those emperors who rejected God? And see their ending. Those that used to rule the world today are under that same earth. Look at that so that you understand that this, that what happens around, so that you can learn things. When you learn things, that's when you will know what is right and what is wrong. And this is the reason why we see in Islam, when we look at the history of Islam, this is the first thing that we see Prophet Muhammad eradicated from the society. When we see how he did that, and you know this example, the Muslims who are here, they know this example, the Battle of Khandaq, where all the non-Muslims came to fight against the Muslims who were just in Adina. And all the kuffar of Makkah, they came to fight against them. In a huge army they made, all the allies got together, they came to fight. So in that battle, you know, all of these people who were there were Arabs. All these people who were there were Arabs. There was one Iranian amongst them. And his name was Salman. Salman, as they were trying to figure out how to defend themselves, he came forward and he said, listen, where I come from, whenever we have these type of battles, we dig a ditch. We dig a ditch because the army usually attacks, the horses just attack. He says, if you build a ditch, right, they won't be able to attack the inside of the city. They'll be able to, you'll be able to stop them. Right? Now, you see, because he was an Iranian, the Arabs could have said, hey, wait a minute, who are you? You're an Iranian. We are Arabs. If we listen to you, it means we are learning from you. It means we are learning from you. We can't do that. I mean, so obviously we see that right away when he did say that, when he did give that idea, we see Prophet Muhammad said, yes, this is what we will do. Everyone agreed to it. There was no sort of nationalism that, why are we listening to this guy? Why are we listening to this guy? And you know that nations, there are nations that have certain illnesses. Right? Every nation has a certain illness. If you go around, you will see that when you recognize these people, you will see, not all of them, but you will see that an idea you will get, okay, these people, they think in this way. These people, they think in this way. The Arabs, they have an illness that Allah Himself has said. He Himself has said, and said, this would be the illness by which they might go to hell. Meaning if they do not cure that illness, then they would go to hell because of that. And He said that the illness is called ta'assub, this discrimination. You will see that amongst all nations, you will see that the Arabs can be very prejudiced regarding their own race. And this has been mentioned by Prophet Muhammad also. He said that this is an illness that they have. And if they go to hell, it will be because of this ta'assub that they have. Why? Because they refuse to learn from others. If they hold on to themselves. And hence what happens is that this, you see, at the time of the Prophet, He eradicated that illness to such an extent that when an Iranian is saying, and that one Iranian who was an ex-slave, when he says something, We see everyone is willing to accept it and say, yes, let's go with this idea. We will learn from him. We will learn from him. They all accepted it. This shows that it was eradicated then, that nationalism that existed amongst them. And that too, we see the example we receive from Ahlul Bayt, when Fatimah al-Zahra, the daughter of the Prophet. And she said that the way that the Arabs, they bury the dead, is something that I do not like. I do not like this, how they do it. Whatever they used to do this, you know, because the Arabs, they had a habit that whenever someone died there, they would put a heavy rock on him. They put a heavy rock on him or her. Now, what that's for, I have no idea. But she said, this is not something that I like. And so what happened is that Izza, who used to work for her, she was from Africa. She said, well, where we come from, we put our dead in a coffin, in a box. And then we bury them. Now she gave this idea. Now you see, this is a person who, one who works for her. She's from Africa. But you see that she's saying that, no, that idea is good. That is how we should do it. And you learn from the others what is best from their environment. So now we see through these examples we can understand that how they wanted us to live our lives. That when we come to another nation, when we come to another environment, we see what is good in that environment and we adopt that which is good and we reject that which is wrong. Good and bad, right and wrong, is not about our environment, your environment. Right and wrong has its own objective laws. If you look at what is right and wrong, you will accept right and wrong no matter which environment you're living in. No matter which country you're living in, no matter which nation you're living in, you can choose what is right and wrong when you see it objectively and analyze it through God's religion. When you see that, when you understand that, that's how you recognize right and wrong. This is how you go over that prejudice. But now, when we want to really get rid of this prejudice, now I've shown you, what happens here is that we think we are much better than others. This is called also. When we think that we are it, they are nothing. They should learn from us. But sometimes it happens that this equation goes upside down. It goes upside down sometimes. And you see that we think that we are nothing and we think that they are everything. If you know what happened in the imperialistic world that happened 100 years ago, 200 years ago, you will see when the English, they ruled the world. If they didn't give anything to the world, at least I know where I come from, they taught us that, listen, we are superior to you. That we are better than you. And they're also, they think that, yes, they are better than us. See, they put it in the minds of people that we are better. Through education, through whatever they did it. To such an extent, my own experience I'm saying to you, I was with someone, and she, you know, I know her, she went to Iran. Came from India, she went to Iran for a visit, the holy sites and all that. She came back, and we were having a talk. So I said, how do you like Iran? Well, you know, I like Iran, but you know what, everyone is ignorant there. I said, what are you talking about, everyone is ignorant there? Yeah, no one knows English. What does English have to do with ignorance? Because the way the British taught them is that if you don't know English, it means you're illiterate. They have their own language, they learn in their own language. Why are you worried about that? But you see, this is the mentality they come up with. They think that they are everything, we are nothing. They got something, we have nothing. So now this inferiority complex that comes, it came. You see what happens, right? The asub, this sort of feeling of prejudice is natural. It's natural because we are raised with it. We have to eradicate it. We have to get rid of it through understanding of God's message. But when we understand God's message now, here's how we need to prove that God's way is better than everyone else's way. How do you prove that? The way you prove that is if you put out God's message, and if you make that the message of God manifest in your own character. When you are going to manifest God's message in your character, that's how the message of God will be known to everyone, in such a way that they will understand by looking at you that your way is better than my way. That your way is better than my way. This is the only way in order to make that prejudice go upside down, is to show them that this way that God has and the message of God is such that your way is not able to compare itself to God's way. Then when you give that message to the people with your own character, that's how you will see that they will also have an inferiority complex and would want to be like you because they have seen a better way than what they have. This is how we see that the way in which we are able to get rid of the prejudice and the discrimination that exists in the world and even amongst our own selves, when we are able to apply that the laws of God and the message of God to our own self and make ourselves a sign of what He wants us to be and represent His message through our own self. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a tawfiq and a blessing to be on the right path, the wisdom to understand His guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam to make us His helper when He comes. Wa akhir da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.